Blog Talk Radio. good mother you are.
Hallelujah. Well, praise be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity to come together just to fellowship one to another one more time. We thank you, Jesus, for your love, your peace, your power. Hallelujah. Your word said in 1 John 1:7 is our scripture for tonight. Your word will not come back to you void. So if we speak the words, we stand on the words, we receive your words, because we know that they will not come back to you void. The word says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. One more time. North, east, south, west, receive the word of God. Those who have an ear, let him hear. Let him hear. Again, 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, hallelujah, as he is in the light, we're searching. We walk in his direction. We walk in the light. That's his pathway of righteousness. That's where he's at. If we search for him, he said that we would find him. So if we walk in the light and he is in the light, we have fellowship. I invite you to come in fellowship with the Holy Ghost tonight. Hallelujah. And we have fellowship with one another. And the Holy Ghost lives inside of each and every one of us. So as we come together in the light, knowing that he's in the light, and we're fellowshipping one to another, hallelujah, we're just united regardless of where we're at, whether we can physically touch each other or not. We are connected. We are one in fellowship. We have fellowship with one another. And then it says that the blood of Jesus, God's only begotten Son, will purify us from all sin. Will purify us from all sin. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Every household is represented here tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Spiritual blessings all around them. Sprinkle your anointing in their heart. Get in those crevices that is hatred and envy is trying to hide itself. Expose the darkness that they may run towards the light, run into the light, knowing that you are in the light. Hallelujah. Bless our fellowship, dear Father. All sicknesses, dear Father. All prayer requests, praise reports, dear Father, as we give it from our hearts, I know you receive it. You hear us. Just like you told Hezekiah, you hear him. You said, I saw your tears and I will heal you. You are no respecter for God. What you did for one, you will do for others. It may be in a different way, but however you choose, whatever is in your plan for us, hallelujah, may we open our spirits to receive it tonight, dear Father. Let us not get too carried away thinking that, oh, my prayer is not big enough to concern God. Hallelujah. But regardless of the size of our prayer, whatever it is that we're needing, whatever it is, you said in John 14:13, that whatever you ask in my name, hallelujah, you're living right. You're trying to live according to the word. You're walking in the light. It may feel like that manifestation has not come through. It may feel like that you've been left alone, that you're just out there. It may feel like that you don't know which way to go. It may feel like that, oh, God, do you hear me? Do you hear my prayers? God, I have need. But it said, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. We represent ourselves as living sacrifices to the Son, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives inside. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, this is Minister Von Dillmer. I'm in sunny San Antonio, Texas. And I just wanted to come tonight, and we're just, you know, before we get started with the word, I just want to ask, how are you? How are you? How are you? Truly, how are you? Not just the, you know, the thing that you make him say, oh, I'm too blessed to be stressed, or, you know, I'm blessed and highly favored. But we know on this journey there is trials. We know that there's tribulations. We know that as you turn on your social media, as you deep dive into any conversation with anybody, negativity is flowing and flying all around you. How do you block that? How do you just let the world fade away? Well, I hope that you know have found the answer. And that is sometimes you got to turn off every your favorite show, your favorite broadcast, whatever it is, and you got to steal away every day. You've got to let some time be aside that this is my Sabbath. I'm going to not just wait on one particular day. We're bigger than that, right? We're bigger than that. God is bigger than that. We owe him more than that. That we can just shout and act a fool all throughout the week, and then we just pick whatever day. We're arguing over whichever day that is. We're wasting time. We're getting distracted. Well, you didn't praise him on Saturday. You did it on Sunday. You did it on Sunday, and you didn't do it over here. Those are just distractions. That's what they are. You should be at this point. You're looking to, hey, your Sabbath, because you take that day of rest, but you throughout the day, you have to find some time that this is my hours here. This is going to be part of my Sabbath right here. I'm going to dedicate this to him. I just yearn as the deer pants by the water, by the stream. He's panting. He's thirsty. We got to get that in our spirit that not just on one day that we want to be in his presence and we want to just let the world fade away, but we got to get bigger than that now. We got to stop drinking breast milk and start eating on some meat. We need him more than that. We need him more. The song says, I need you more than yesterday. I need you, Lord, more than words can say. I need you, Lord, more than ever before. I need you more. I need you more. Hallelujah. We've got to get into that. More than seeing that football game, more than even hanging out with our loved ones. In order to be a good at who we are and what God has put in our hearts to do, we've got to make sure that we break away and let the world fade away to get our power back. Because all of those things that we're running to, the social media, just to do what? To make money on our job. Oh, even to be kind, whatever it is, it takes your power away. It takes a little bit of time. But there is power in the name of Jesus. Yes. And while it's taking a little bit of your power away every day, it's also connecting you with different chains of negativity that you've heard from this source or that source. Hallelujah. And it's before you know it, you feel like I'm getting a little tight in the chest. Or, you know, you can't sleep because you're still thinking about something that someone said to you earlier in the day. Those are things to block you and stop you and get you off of your course. And it may take a little bit longer for some than it is for others. You may can continue to go and say, no, it didn't bother me. I'm going on about my business. But believe me, one link of that chain has been left with you. The enemy's not going to just let you hear the conversation and you sit there and just allow someone to pour that in your ear gate, and then you're going to go on about your merry way and it doesn't affect you. That's not the way we're built. That's why you got to get to the point, regardless of who they are. You don't have to be rude, but you got to be protective of yourself. You got to guard your own heart, guard your own spirit. And you got to say, oh, I can't hear that. I'm so sorry that that happened to you, but, you know, I got to protect my ear gates. I can't receive that off in my spirit. I can't allow that to be important. But they said something about you. Well, you telling me about it is not going to stop what they've already said about me, right? So I don't need to hear about it. But I hope you defended me. I hope you had something positive to say on top of the negativity that they were saying. Please, thank you, but no thank you. No, I don't want to gossip about whoever it is, but it's some good news. You're going to want to hear this. No, if there's something that you can help them with, why don't you go help them with it?
And then we need to bring ourselves to that point. That's a point to get in that prayer closet. Get into Jeremiah, as he reminded. He said, behold, I am the Lord. That's what the Lord is saying to Jeremiah. He sent it to you. He sent it to me. He said, the God of all flesh, is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for me? Is there any prayer too small for me? Is there anything that you can't bring to me, that you can't talk to me? No prayer is too small for God, sisters and brothers. Trust. He loves you. Trust. He cares for you. We trust sometimes in our spouse more than we trust. We trust in our bosses, our jobs, in our finances, our bank accounts. We trust that when we put in that bank account number, that number is going to pop up there and it makes you feel good. You can lay back here so I can sleep at night. I can trust in this. Because me and my four got what we need. And now it's even down single. I got what I need. I don't know about the rest of them. I got what I need. So I've got it. Let them get their own. But then we'll look around and we're the first ones to be glued to our social media with all of the different things that are happening. Have we prayed for any of the situations that are going on? Tonight we're going to look at a couple of things. We're going to look at a couple of things. But I asked you, how are you? Because I just really want to know. People are hurting all around us. I mean, right there beside you. They may be standing shoulder to shoulder with you in pain, confused, disappointed, depressed. They're hurting. And you haven't even noticed. I haven't even noticed. Because we just did our regular salutation. Hey, sister, how are you? Hey, brother, how are you? We don't even slow down either anymore. And sometimes we don't even get to that point to say that. We just offer a smile or we nod our head and we keep right on going. All about our way. We don't even think about, should I slow down? Can I look them in the eye for a moment? We may not want to shake hands because of different things like the virus and different things like that. But can you just stand and just look them in the eye? You don't have to be close to close, nose to nose. But you can look them in the eye and wait on an answer. Not waiting to get to someone else. But just give them, wait on their answer when you ask, how are you? Is everything okay with you today? Any prayer requests? You have a praise report for me tonight? I feel like you got something to praise God about. Are you know that thing that we've been praying about? Hey, have you received any answers from that? Is it anything that we need to continue to go into prayer about? Praise report right now. Hallelujah. You see somebody that looks like they're weak. May not be sick weak, but weak because of something that they're kids or their job is putting them through. Maybe they've lost their job. Maybe the finances is building up so high and they're trying to rob Peter to pay Paul and they're just waiting on that breakthrough. Maybe their marriage is falling apart. Maybe we need to speak Isaiah 40:29 over them. But we got to know that there is a problem. We got to listen. He said he gives power to the weak and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Who's weak around you? Is it you? We all go through things. Being weak doesn't mean that we don't have faith. He said he's already overcome the world, but he tells us that on this journey, you're going to go through trials. You're going to go through tribulation. You're going to feel hurt. You're going to go through mourning. You're going to go through some tears. Just remember that when you're weak, that I have power. My power I will give to you. He gives power to the weak and to those who have no might. Gosh, I would do it. I just can't fight. I don't even have any fight in me. He will increase your strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I pray that you're doing great tonight. I pray as you're getting ready to turn in or you may have already got yourself situated, you're laying down, and you just wanted to listen to the broadcast. I thank all of you who reach out just to let me know. I enjoy just relaxing and just hearing the broadcast. You may be hearing this at a later time. You went in the archives, and you, as you signed on to this site, and as this broadcast is there in the archives for you to listen to as many times as you want to, fill your spirit up as much as you want. Allow God to fill you up until you want no more, till your cup runneth over, and not just anoints you and heals you and touches you, but those all around you. Those all around you, hallelujah, feel free to share any broadcast that you come across, any episode. Download it, hallelujah. If you're up in the night when I'm doing it or early in the morning, call in. You're more than welcome. Amen. You may be in the chat rooms right now. I've left some messages in the chat rooms for you of how you can leave your prayer request and that I will get back with you. You may have a word that you just want to leave in there. And I also sent the welcome to you. Welcome to the Word of God through the Voice of Vine Ministry. It's the Word of God. I'm just being used by the Lord. He's my creator. So it's the Word of God through the Voice of Vine Ministry. And we're under the Turning the Tables with Talk umbrella. Again, I am your host, Minister Von Dumas, and you can leave a prayer request. You can reach out to me at walkwithmelord@yahoo.com. I am available, missvinedee@gmail.com, however you choose that you want to get in touch with me. You are a part of God's life, so that you're a part of mine. And we come together in fellowship, one to another. No one's bigger than the other one. No big I's and small U's. We're all beloved children of God. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior, I invite you to just open your heart and however you want to accept Jesus Christ, you got to first be able to confess that you are a sinner, that we're born into sin, that you can't make it by yourself, that you need him, you need the healing that he's already given you by his stripes, by his nail-pierced hands. He's freed you. You've got to see yourself on that cross, your sins there. You don't have to keep running into sinful situations. By his blood, we're washed clean. So we accept that we're sinners, that I need your blood to wash me clean. I accept all that your shed blood covered for me. I accept it. And understand that by accepting it, the power of sin is broken. The power of sin is broken. Jesus overcame it all for you, for me. He has won our freedom. He's won. He's won. Get excited. He has won that thing that you've been struggling with for so long, the thing that you've been trying to overcome for so long. Jesus has won it all. So as you accept that, invite him to come and live inside of you, to direct your every step, to direct you towards the light, that you may walk in the light, because you know that he is in the light. Believe that if you search for him, you will find him. He's not hiding from you. He's waiting patiently in line. He's waiting on you. Come on. Come on. I don't care what it is that you've done. Repent of those things and allow God. You can't clean yourself up. You can't wait until you don't feel like taking the drug anymore. Do you stop being promiscuous? You can't wait till you stop stealing from that company. You can't wait until, oh, I'm just going to do this one more time. I'm just, you know, you can't do it on your own. If so, you would have already quit. You look yourself in the mirror. You say, I'm going to do better today. But the day still turns up with that bottle in your hand, right? It still turns up with you telling repetitive lies it still turns up with you doing whatever it is, living in fear, the anxiety, the jealousy, the envy, whatever it is that is your tweaking point. Mine may be different from yours, but one thing about it, we all have to come to him the same way because we are sinners. We're sinners. Hallelujah. We're sinners. And so when you come to him, it's not to say that you won't ever sin again, but you start to recognize the pattern and you get caught up and wrapped up in his love for you and his direction for you. So you start to learn to repent, which turning away, humble yourself and turn away from the sin. Hallelujah. You start to pray to him. Hallelujah, which is just an awesome gift that he's given us. That we don't have to go through no third, fourth, fifth party. We can come directly to him and pray and lay it out. And the awesome part of it, again, is we don't have to be the one that does all the talking because he has the answers. He already has the plans for your future, for your life. So then we can just be quiet before him. To me, Lord Jesus, I need to hear from you. Lord, if I can't hear from you, if I can't feel you, I don't know what I do. And sometimes we come out of our prayer closet and we feel at ease and comfort, but we still don't feel like we've heard, got that word, that final word. So we jump up and we try to go back on our own to do something, but no, no, no. You just stay right there. Whether it's you put on some gospel, soft Christian music, whether you sing a song that you have written on the tablets of your heart, whether you just continue as you're cleaning your house, call out the name of Jesus. Maybe you say, I'm covered by the blood, by the blood. You make up your own music to go with the lyrics that's in your heart. Maybe you just want to call his name, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's seeking after him. I'm telling you, you will find him. You will find yourself doing things. You'll find it. And something just told me to do this. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit that you've been inviting to come and live inside of you. He's there to help you make the right things, make the right decisions, go the right way. And even when you don't know what to say, he speaks on your behalf. Hallelujah. So just accept Jesus Christ and ask him to come into your life, be your Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Believe that he is the Son of God, that there's no other way back to heaven, back to our Creator, but through his gift. That's the way that he's created for us, Jesus Christ. And confess that we are sinners and that we can't make it on our own. And when you pray this, not just saying words, but the confession out of the abundance of your heart and your mouth starts to speak, you are a new creation of Christ. All the things that you've done in your past, you can give it over to God. You don't have to be embarrassed about it or that somebody's going to come and say this or say that. You don't have to go there. You are a new creature, brand new inside of you. And so all of those things, he don't let nothing just go to waste. All of those things, he'll start to show you something. So you'll start to identify people in the world that are caught up in those things. Their mouth may be saying one thing, but your spirit will connect. And I know what they're dealing with. They're dealing with alcoholism. I was there. I know what they're dealing with. And whatever it is, your eyes, the scales will start to fall off. And God will reveal some things to you that you can see. Yeah, they're at a different level. They're caught up by distractions. They're distracted because of this denomination, of that denomination. They're distracted about all the different racism that is going on in the world. They've got into that, and they're standing behind it. And now they can't see the light. They can't see the pathway of righteousness now because they're standing behind this mountain, and this mountain now, all they can see is color. All they can see is hatred. All they can see is that, you know what? I'm going to form my own words. God can't love that. Yes, the behavior that he doesn't love. So we start to see God cannot love that group of people. So we start to hate that group of people. Not the behavior. We actually start to hate on the people. We're not praying for them. I'm going to pray for those that are in my circle. I'm going to pray for those who act like I do or maybe sound like I do. They go to the same church I go to. Maybe they work at the same job that I do. They dress like me. They understand me. And so what at one time may have looked like, oh, that's pretty crazy, the more you hang with some craziness, you get a little cuckoo yourself, and it starts to make sense to you what they were saying. Stay in prayer. Stay in prayer. We're going to go through the parable of the persistent widow. And, you know, I understand just letting the Holy Ghost have his way, letting the Holy Spirit have his way. And there's some things right now that he's just saying that, and I don't want to stop. I don't want to hinder the Holy Spirit. And so if we get to what we're going to get to, that's fine. But I'm just a willing vessel. I'm just here. The Holy Ghost, use me how you want to use me. Hallelujah. Luke 18, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, God, that you have won the victory. Hallelujah, that you have won it all for me. Hallelujah, for that person that's struggling right now. Hallelujah, that you won the victory for them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the victories that you won. Things that they couldn't do for themselves. And sometimes God will just let you run around and work yourself out until you're tired. And you said, I've tried everything to correct this situation. I tried to be that good parent. Kids are still acting up. I tried to be that good spouse. Things are still not going right. I tried to work extra on my job. I tried to do the things. I tried to hold my peace in the midst of confusion. Things are still going all right. He's just waiting on you to surrender. I surrender all. I surrender all. Not just some of it. Sometimes we like to give God the things that we said, I just need you to take care of this part over here. Hallelujah. All to him, all of it. My precious Savior, oh, I surrender all. Sometimes I have to go back, and if I say that I've surrendered it to him, and I find myself thinking about it throughout the day, I go back again. God, I surrender all. I want to make sure I give it all to him. I surrender it all to you. You're my precious Savior, and I surrender all. Now, I can't get you to surrender your load. If we're carrying big loads of our troubles, our kids' troubles, troubles on our job, troubles from all the stuff we hear in the social media outlets, troubles from all the news outlets, trouble from all the gossip, and it's just building up, building up, building up, building up. And now we got a big Santa Claus bag, except we don't have toys in our bag. We got negativity. We got all of the things that we just mentioned, and it's getting heavier and heavier, and it's almost like carrying your weight on your back, literally. And I don't care if you're the smallest something, you may be 120 pounds, but carrying 120 pounds will wear you out. It'll knock you off of your course. So think about it if you're 200, 300, 400, or whatever weight that you're carrying. Some people love to jump and dive into gossip,
They jump and run into the heavy heat. They just want to be in the midst of confusion. They want to be able to tell you off. They want to be able to get up and put up their hands or their fists and touch you and lay hands. They get excited about that, to run and tell somebody, here's what I did to somebody. So I can't persuade you to give it up. Only you, on your journey, you got to get so tired of being sick and tired. You got to get so tired of that mess that you said, somebody carry this for me for a minute. The word tells us, oh, what needless pain we bear from carrying all this stuff, all because we don't carry it to Jesus in prayer. We see the doors, and we're going over here. You're trying to drop it off at my door. I don't want it. You're trying to drop it off at your neighbor's door, and they may open the door and listen to you and take some of it off, but it doesn't lighten your load. It just builds onto theirs also. So you're not getting any relief. You want this relief, and you're like, just take some of it. But it doesn't take from you. It just adds to someone else. So no relief. No relief. Somebody say no relief. Somebody know what I'm talking about. No relief. Somebody know that you got on the phone and you called that best friend. You called your mom. You called your pastor. And you said, I need to talk to you. I need to get rid of this. But no relief, because we need to take it to Jesus. Because we're not built to carry it. What are they going to do with it? We're not built to carry it. He said, I am. Bring it to me. When you're weak, allow me to replace your weakness with my strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then just wait on the Lord. Isaiah 40:31 said, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. You ever saw the wing of an eagle? They shall run and not be weary about what's been said about them, about what job they didn't get. No. No, no, no. They don't get weary. They don't stop and sit down after every little moment in there because, oh, I didn't get this. This didn't happen right. They shall walk and not faint. Let's just say it one more time. Because you got to carry this with you. You got to write it on the tablets of your heart. You got to be ready and willing to live this thing out. Even when you feel like that you want to speak somebody out. But to those who wait on the Lord, you say, I've been waiting. I've been waiting. I'm lonely. I've been waiting on that job, and it's getting worse. My bills aren't getting paid. You said, I've been waiting to get invited over here, that the people say they're my friends and they never do me right. They're scandalizing my name. They're walking on top of everything that I'm trying to do good. They're sprinkling their negativity all over it. I've been waiting. But for those, if you got to wait on something, don't wait on them to change their mind and start treating you right. Yeah, don't wait on them to say, I'm sorry. Yeah, you were abused, and that is true. We're not trying to overlook what has happened to you. It still has happened. It's no way for you to reverse the times for it not to happen. It's already happened. So stop waiting on somebody to tell you, why did you do this? What happened? Why did you turn against me? Why would you touch me? Why would you abuse me? Why would you do that? I looked up to you as a leader, as a family member, as a father figure, as a mother figure. Why were you not there for me? Why did you leave me? You instead of waiting there, trying to get them to change their mind, trying to pour a lot of guilt on them and it seems not to stick, it just rolls off of their back. So instead of you doing all of that, if you're going to wait, why don't you do as the Word has told us to do? Stay in prayer. Go to God in prayer. You can be honest with Him. I don't understand why this happened, Father God. I don't know. I want to go forward. I don't want to get stuck here. I don't want to try to get vengeance for it. Vengeance is yours, thus saith the Lord. You got other things prepared for me. You said your plans is that I would have hope in a future. I have goodness and love and your joy and your kindness. I want that. I want to live in that life. All this stuff keeps trying to stick to me. I don't want that. I don't understand it anyway. So I don't know how to fix it. So I just come to you with it. I want to get it out of me. So I speak it to you, Father. I'm not shedding another tear over it. Or if I do, I'm wiping that tear as I'm going on about my business, your business. So, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. That's how you know that you're doing somewhere. You're not weak and hiding in a closet anymore, hiding in a corner. You're getting on up and you're saying, God, what is it you want me to do on this day that you have gifted to me? I didn't die last night. You gifted me another day. What is it that you want me to see for this new day that I've never seen before, would never see again? So, but for those who wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. God, I'm weak. Renew my strength. It said they shall mount up with wings like eagles. Eagles get way on up there, don't they? They can fly higher than you and I. Their wings span. They don't have to keep flapping like the little finches that you see down here on the ground, that they got to flap, 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 flap before they can get some air up under them. And they still can't get as high as the eagle. Mm-mm. But an eagle, it takes off and then it kind of soars. Yeah, they'll do a flap, and that one flap can take them around and go about some ways before they need to flap again. They get to soar. Look down on their enemies. Look down on the things that God is showing them. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're trying. We're moving right on. We're moving right on. We're going to Luke 18. And Luke 18 is a chapter in the New Testament of the Christian Bible, and it contains several parables and teachings of Jesus Christ. And I know there's all kind of different churches on every corner now, universal churches, and they're writing their own Bible that benefits the alphabets and all kind of different things that are against the Christian Bible. So I emphasize that. Now, I'm not talking about NIV and King James and New King James. And No. That is the same word. And it may be broken down in ways for you to get a better understanding. And so you compare those. You put those together, and you can understand what King James Version is talking about. I'm not talking about where somebody has said that, oh, my Bible's only for black people. Only my Bible's only for white people. Oh, my Bible's only for Jews. Hallelujah. And so I'm talking about the Christian Bible. Amen. Again, it contains several parables about the teachings of Jesus Christ. And so the chapter, Luke 18, the chapter begins with the parable of the persistent widow. And the persistent widow, the parable teaches us to pray fervently and not give up. Just don't give up. Don't give up. To some who were confident of their own righteousness, maybe looked down on everybody else. They thought they were so righteous. That's what the parable is for. This parable is talking about that. This chapter also includes the parable of the Pharisees and the tax collector, which teaches us humility. It teaches about humiliation for sin in prayer. This chapter is loaded with a lot of stuff, Luke 18. Additionally, it contains the story of a rich ruler who asked Jesus, what must he do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him, he said, sell everything that you have and give it to the poor and come follow me. And of course, if you know the story, the ruler was very sad. He was very sad because he truly wanted to follow Jesus. But he was very wealthy.
And Jesus is telling him, in order to inherit eternal life, I got to give up all of this that I've wanted? I'm very sad because I can't do that. Can't do that. I can't do that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So that's what we're going to go to now. When we talk about the parable of the persistent widow, you know, Jesus told his disciples the parable. He was trying to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said in a certain town, he spoke to them about there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. So it wasn't like he feared God. It wasn't like he really cared what people thought. But there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him over plea. And her plea was, wait for it. It said, grant me justice against my adversaries. Grant me justice against my adversaries. They're just too much. Everywhere I go, I'm being scandalized. Grant me justice against my adversaries. And as we know the word of God and we deep dive and study the word of God, we see that there's many different situations where people would just, the adversaries would just get together and just pound on you for whatever reason. Maybe because Hannah was not able to get pregnant at that time. So they all kind of got together and rubbed their bellies, and every child that they had, oh, look at barren Hannah. You know, maybe it was the woman with the issue of blood. Everybody said, this is ridiculous. Why is she out here amongst everybody else? What is she doing? She's at the doctor's again. You know, for some time, he refused. We're going back to the king himself, the judge, because there were the judges who made sure that everything was going accordingly for the king. So the judge is who that the woman, just the persistent widow, just kept going to saying, grant me justice against my adversary. And remember, he didn't really fear God. He had no fear for God. And he didn't really care about what anybody else had to say. Hallelujah. But God is trying to teach his disciples, as he's telling this story, about what? He's trying to show them that they should always pray and not give up. So it tells us that in this certain town, with this judge, who neither feared God or cared about what people thought, this widow continued to come to him with the same plea, grant me justice against my adversaries. And for some time, he just kept on refusing. I can see him shooing her away. Oh, yeah, whatever. I'm not getting involved in that. But finally, she would not give up. She came so often that he said to himself, even though I don't fear God, even though I don't care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, see, it was a bother for him that every time he turned around, here she is again. He said, because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me, bothering me. I'm going to see that she gets what she's asking so she can leave me alone. Does she care about why he made up his mind to give her what her request? She didn't care that she was bothering him. She knew that he was the one in authority and he had the power to get it done. So this is what the parable is about. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. Again, this is an unjust judge. He don't care what people think. He has no fear for God. But because she's been bothering him, and he decides that, you know what, just to get her off of my case, I'm going to make sure she gets what she wants. And he said, will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will God not hear your cries? Will God not hear your prayers? Again, like he told Hezekiah, I've heard your cries,
I've seen your tears. So you know what? I'm going to heal you. Will he keep putting things off? Well, you feel like everybody else is getting their blessing. Everybody else is getting, God can hear from them, but just not getting to me. It's not getting to me. I'm not getting anywhere. God is not hearing me. And you may be saying, he's reaching out. The song says, and I've heard people say all the time, you know, God, please don't pass me by. Please don't pass me by. It's not my sister. It's not my brother. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And just like Jesus is telling his disciples, don't stop praying. Be persistent. Stay with it. Don't walk around with your head hanging down to the ground. Hold your head up high. Walk like you already have victory. Hallelujah. Because it may be impossible for you to do anything. Jesus told us that with men, so many things that are impossible to do. But with God, all things are possible. And then that brings us to another thing that we said, but I know, I believe, Minister Bond, I know that he can do it, but will he do it for me? Is it in his plan that he wants to do it for me? Is this according to his will, according to his way? He said, I have joy for you. I want you to prosper. I want to give you hope. I don't want to tear you down. I don't want you walking around depressed. I don't want you to live in a pity party. But I got to get some stuff right first. We may not understand the timing, but he left in eternity. So we have to stand on his truck. That's a true foundation that won't crack. It won't fall in. It won't cave in. It won't turn to mud. It won't turn to slush. I tell you, he will see that you get your justice. And quickly, he says, not quickly to me. Because right here in time, it may seem like that, whoa, David says, whoa, you said that God has called me to do something, but why is Saul still ruling over me? Why am I being chased all throughout here running from Saul? I got to respect the man of God. I can't take his life. My time hasn't came to be king. But I still believe that I will be king. I know how it is. I know how it is to feel like, God, my justice, where's my justice? God, I'm doing this, as Hezekiah said. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, right? And he started 2 Kings 20. He turned his face to the wall. This is after Isaiah had came to him, the prophet Isaiah, had went to Hezekiah, and he said, this is what the Lord says. He said, put your house in order. Hezekiah, put your house in order. Now, we remember back, if we know the story, Hezekiah had became ill, and he was at the point of death. But he still didn't think he would die because he was shocked when Isaiah delivered the news to him that the Lord had said, put your house in order because you are going to die. You will not recover. But Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. He didn't get on the phone and call up anybody. He didn't go to the bar and try to get turned up. He didn't go on social media and try to curse God. But he turned his face to the wall and he prayed to the Lord. And again, in 2 Kings 20, and verse 3 tells us that he said, remember, Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes. And then he wept bitterly. Then he wept bitterly. And to make the long story short, can read it. 2 Kings 20. So when he did this, again, he didn't run into Isaiah, tell God this and go back and tell him this. He just turned his face to the wall and he spoke to God himself. From the abundance of his heart, he started to speak to God. Remember, Lord, I've walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion, and I've done what is good in your eyes. And before Isaiah had left that middle court where they was at, the word of God, the Lord came to Isaiah, and he told him, he said, go back. Go back and tell Hezekiah, the one, you know, the ruler of my people, go back. Just like I've just sent you to go tell him this message to get his house in order because he's going to die. He will not recover. Go back and tell Hezekiah a few things for me. This is what the Lord told him, the God of Father David. He said, I've heard your prayer. God hears your prayers. God hears my prayers, even though we don't see the manifestation of it. God hears our prayers. He said, go and tell him, I've heard your prayers. And the next thing he said, and tell him that I've seen your tears. Now I'm talking to you and I. This is the same thing that he said to Hezekiah. He sent it to you. He sent it to me. He sent it to those that seems to have lost their hope. He said, I've heard your prayers. I've seen your tears. And I will heal you. You may not have a physical illness right now, and maybe some mental that keeps messing with you. It keeps almost driving you out of your mind. He said, I will heal you. Maybe you're trying to be that good wife, that good mother, and every time you turn around, something is flashing and distracting you and driving you off course, and you need a healing from that. He said, I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears, and I will heal you. You've got to make sure, though. He heard what? Your prayers. Are you praying to God without ceasing? The judge said, I really don't fear God. I don't care what people think, but what? He heard the widow's prayer request over and over and over again. God says that he also sees your tears, and he's going to heal you. And he's going to deliver you. And he's going to defend you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you tell him, thank you, Jesus? I don't even see it yet, but thank you, Jesus. I know that that job is coming and it's going to be bigger and better than whatever. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So again, the Lord says, if that unjust judge will bring justice, how much do you think that I, who am a just God, wants to bring justice for his chosen one, for his beloved kids, the ones who cry out to him day and night? Well, you think he's just going to keep pushing you over to the side? I tell you, he will see that you get justice. Hallelujah. And when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth inside of you? I don't care what's going on else around you. Are you still going to be faithful all the way to the end? Let's keep going. Let's talk about the parable of Pharisees and the tax collector. Because I told you there's a lot of different parables in here. And we want to just hit on them. We can actually teach on them at a longer time. But for the sake of time, let's just continue to go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So when we're talking about the parable of the Pharisees and the tax collector, I'm a story reader and I love reading books and I love writing and digging and dabbing and different writing styles and things. So when I do write, I put myself in those characters. When I read, I put myself in wherever those characters are. So I ask you to do the same as you are reading the Bible. When you're reading God's words and when you're hearing the parables, get what's coming out of it. Put yourself in that situation that you're sitting there and you're listening to Jesus teach you. So to some who were confident, they were just confidence of their own righteousness,
maybe like the judge himself that we just looked at, right? And they were so confident in their own righteousness. They began to look down on everyone else. You know anybody like that? Well, you live here on earth, so I'm sure you do, right? So confident, maybe because of the title, maybe because of their education, maybe because of who they married. Oh, it gets so small that we get to looking down on people because our house may be bigger. Our bank account may have more zeros in there. God's not caring about that. What are you doing with it? Are you doing what he's asked you to do? Are you with that person? Sometimes they live in these big fancy houses and it's so much argument and detention and so much stuff going on in there that's negative. You can knock on the door and almost feel it. Huh. So, again, we're looking at someone who's just overly confident in their own righteousness. I can do this. If it had not been for me, I had to do this for them. That's one of my pet peeves is hearing what, oh, I have done. I carried them there. I took them there. I fed their children. I clothed them. I did this. The judge may have said, I granted her justice. Mm-hmm. And so they start to look down on everyone else. Jesus told this parable to his disciples. He said, two men went up to the temple to pray. So we got two men. Are you there? And they're going up to the temple with the same intention to do what? Pray. One was a Pharisee, okay? And the other was a tax collector, something like Matthew. The Pharisee stood by himself and he prayed. God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. That was the Pharisee's prayer. He stood by himself, and that was his prayer. God, I thank you that I'm not like Jim, John, Sue, and Bob. I'm not like those other people. Maybe I'm poor. Maybe I'm a robber. Maybe I'm white. Maybe I'm Indian. Maybe I'm black. I'm not like those other people. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers. I'm not like them. I'm not even like this tax collector who just walked the same pathway I did to get to the temple to pray. And I want to thank you if that was his prayer. And he said, I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. That was the Pharisee. So we've heard what he's got to say, right? He sounds pretty confident to me on righteousness. And he sounds like he's looking down on everyone else that maybe didn't pay their tithe, that maybe didn't fast twice, that maybe is a tax collector, or maybe they are in the sin of robbery or in the sin of evildoing, of adultery. He may have had a positive word that God has given him that could straighten them up and make them want to do something different, maybe something he could teach. But no. He decided to look down on them. And he's even thinking, God, I'm not that. And we know even in the church house we have that same thing, right? Well, at least I'm not as bad as this one. At least I don't do this. At least my child didn't get pregnant out of wedlock. At least my husband didn't cheat. At least. And it goes on, just like the Pharisee. At least my clothes is better than anyone else's up in here. Mm-hmm. So, but the tax collector stood at a distance. And he would not even look up to heaven. He just beat his breast. And he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He didn't even feel worthy to look towards heaven. The Pharisee went straight up. And he was, he felt like, oh, if anybody can talk to God, if anybody's prayer can get through, it's mine. But the tax collector felt so bad, so down. He stood at a distance. You remember it said that as they went there, the Pharisee stood by himself because he didn't want to be with nobody else. And he prayed. of the tax collector. He just kind of never went up with everybody else that was praying. And he definitely didn't get close to the Pharisee that was standing over someone by himself, being all holy and royal. But he stood at a distance. He couldn't even look up to heaven. Can you see him? He just sitting there beating his breath. Like, oh, here I am again. I messed up again. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Ooh, even when I try to do right, it seems like that old sinful distraction keeps coming back and flashing and getting my attention. We're at verse 14 now. Hallelujah. We're still at Luke 18 and we're on 14. I tell you that this man, this is Jesus talking to the disciples. He's teaching us something. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. Went home justified before God. All those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted, will be lifted higher. Those who can humble themselves, those who can confess and repent of their sins. So he went home. God gave him justice because man looks at outside, but God looks at the heart. And his prayer was from the heart, and God received it. God received it. I'm glad I'm not a liar like Sister Betsy. I'm glad I don't do this. I tell you, we have to check ourselves. I do my self-inventories, and sometimes when I feel like that things aren't moving and I know that I'm praying and I continue to pray and I'm waiting and I'm believing, go back before the Lord. Show me if I'm missing something. Remove the scales from my eyes. I don't want to sit here thinking I got it together and I'm all tangled up and just don't know. Hallelujah. I don't want to have that conceitedness in my heart. And be praying to you, thinking that I'm praying to my just God and that he's going to justify me. And I may be praying to my just God, but I have confidence in my own righteousness, and it's blocking me from being heard. Hallelujah. My own sins could keep me from receiving what God has for me. Have you thought of that? And then we look around today, and we got 30 people that we pick out. God has blessed him. Look at his Mercedes. God has blessed her. Look at her home. God has blessed them. They got beautiful kids. God has blessed them. They're able to go and fill up the food bank. And they look down on you like, yeah, I'm going to give you this food. But we have a way of looking at things, and we say, yeah, that means they're blessed. That means that they're blessed. Yeah. That means that God is blessing them. They're able to do these things and go on this cruise, and they're able to do these things and all of these things. It's just nothing that'll stop them from going. But you check their lives. Some of those people are the sickest, mentally, physically, family relationship-wise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes they have no mercy on nobody. They don't have any idea about showing mercy to somebody or giving grace. Hebrew tells us, he said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, the throne of grace, that we may get something, what we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Not just our need, but help in time of need for others, my sisters and my brothers. And sometimes we try to push people aside. No, they're not there yet. They haven't got their degree yet. No, they're not there yet. They're not old enough. No, this little child can't tell me anything about God's mercy or God's love. No, yeah, that's some kid stuff. So the next parable is a little children Jesus. And I'm sure you know it. We'll move through this.
people were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. This is verse 15. Again, we in Luke 18, and we're at verse 15, speaking about the little children and Jesus, bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. And when the disciples saw this, they rebuked him. They rebuked them. How dare you bring this baby up here to Jesus? Get out of his way. Get the kids out of his way. This is Jesus. Don't you know who this is? But Jesus called the children to him, said, no. Come. And he said, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Wait a minute. They're just kids. They haven't even purchased their whatever it is now that makes you the big wig. They're not even married to this big person. They don't even have cradles. And Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. He says, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. You know, we have these things here that we get all turned around in this day and time, 2023. I'm not going to tell my kids anything about God. I'll wait until they get grown and they can choose on their own. They may not be alive then. They may not get it. They don't know anything about the light. You haven't introduced them. You are, look at you, if you're making statements like that. I'm seeing grandparents, there's almost 70, still, nah, that's okay. Yeah, I believe there is a God, but I believe in many gods and all of this craziness. But to them, it makes sense. There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it leads to destruction. But God said, I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God, are you receiving the kingdom of God? Are you showing it in your life? Are you walking it? Are you talking it? Are you just carrying a Bible? Are you just wearing a cross? And a lot of times you still got Jesus hanging on the cross. You keep putting him back on the cross. He's already hanged down. He was buried. And he was resurrected. But you keep putting him back on the cross. But in that, know that when you see him on the cross, know that in him, you are in him. You were on that cross too. It was your sins on that cross. Hallelujah. So truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never, never, ever enter the kingdom of God. Never, never, ever, ever, ever. Then we go on into verse 18 and we speak of the rich and the kingdom of God. And we're coming to a close here. Hallelujah. And we speak about the rich and the kingdom of God. And a certain ruler asked him, the teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Verse 19. Jesus answered. He said, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Why do you call me good? It's because, you know, I'm paraphrasing here. Do you think he was saying, is it because maybe you have a crowd gathering around you? Because I know in our society, if you have a crowd gathering around you everywhere you go, people call you a celebrity. They call you a great entertainer. They'll give their check, their mother's check, their child's tuition, whatever, just to come and have you entertain them for a little bit of time. They want to wear what you wear. They want to say the words that you do. They want to live where you live. They want to drive what you drive. So Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your mother and father. All these I have kept since I was a boy, he said. Mm-hmm. Then when Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. You still lack one thing. You've kept the commandments of not committing adultery, not committing murder, not stealing, not getting false witness, a false testimony. You kept the honor your father and mother. You've kept them like he did say, the rich man had said, yeah, I've done all of these since I was a boy. But Jesus said, you still lack one thing. I could just see the rich ruler just like, oh, really? What could that be? So Jesus speaks up and lets him know. He said, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me.
Darren, I'm sure he's like, watch, I don't even like the poor. I look down on the poor. I'm not getting ready to give anything to them. Do I be poor? That's the worst thing in life that could happen to me. And then what? If I sell everything that I have and give it to the poor, then you say, what? Now let me make sure I got this right. Then I will have a treasure in heaven. I got a treasure right here. I'm not really worried about my treasure in heaven. My treasure's right here. It's stored up. Now, you know, thieves can break in and steal it. My treasure can rust, but my treasure's right here that I can see, I can feel. So, yeah, I want to come with you. I want to know what I could do, but you got to tell me something else. You can't expect me to give up all of that just because when I get to heaven, I'm going to have treasures there. See, what he didn't see is this is, he's right now living in time. But as we speak right now, that parable would indicate that he's in eternity. And all of the goods that he had stored here in time is no good in eternity. Jesus says, so then after you do all of that, then come follow me. Then come on. You're welcome. So when he heard this, the rich ruler, he became very sad because he was very, very wealthy. Jesus looked at him because he could see the sadness. Remember, man looks at the outside. But Jesus, even though he was a man, his father, God, showed him the inside. Jesus looked at him and said, how hard is it for this rich to enter the kingdom of God? I think this wasn't the first one that he had encountered. He said, you know, indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not saying anything against riches. It's how, what are you doing with it? Is that riches your God? He's saying when he makes the statement, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? He's saying because you've already got a God. Your God is standing so big and so tall in your eyesight, you can't see anything else. In your heart, you really don't desire to come follow me because you've got this God that you're serving. You build him with silver and gold, and he's here. And you're just talking the talk. You really, in your heart, don't want to come follow me. So those who heard this asked, who then can be saved? If this rich ruler can't be saved, who then can be saved? So Jesus replied. He said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. And Peter said to him, you know, Peter, our boy Peter, right? Uncle Peter. So he said, we have left all we have to follow you. We've left everything we've had to follow you. So Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, no one who has left home, or wife, or brothers, or sisters, or parents, or children, for the sake of the kingdom of God, will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, and we're talking about it again, eternal life. In the age to come, eternal life. What riches do you have stored for your eternal life? I see you working hard to get the things that you got here in your earthly life. But he says that nothing that you have given up for the kingdom will be lost. Nothing that you have given up for the kingdom will fail. You're going to receive many times as much in the age in your eternal life. You're going to receive many times more.
and your eternal life. Verse 31, we speak about Jesus' predicament, and we're going to move on pretty quickly here. We have two more, and then we're going to be finished for tonight. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled." Whoa. What? Third time. So again, he took the 12 aside and he told them. You know, I can just imagine them or their feelings, what's going through their heads and their minds at this time. He said, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man is going to be fulfilled." Like, really, everything? Wow, they said that you're going to die. That's what the prophets before you says that. Verse 32 said, "He will be delivered over to the Gentiles." Mm-hmm. No one's going to take him, but he will be delivered over to the Gentiles in order to fulfill the word that's already been prophesied. They will mock him. They will insult him, and they will even spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. Would you, if they was talking about you, this is what's going to happen. Whoa. You know, I'm sure some of the disciples said, "I don't even want to be in a crowd. Do we have to go? If all this stuff is getting ready to happen to you and we're with you, do we have to go? I don't want to see you go through that." Hallelujah. But he continues and he said, "On the third day, he," speaking of himself, "will rise again." On the third day, he, speaking of himself, will rise again. After everything went through and went down the way that it was prophesied that it would, I think that the disciples didn't hear or they didn't believe that on the third day that he would rise again, that they really didn't believe it. Hallelujah. Because after he was crucified and buried, I don't believe that they really expected on that third day that he would rise again. The disciples did not understand any of this. I mean, its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. And then our last one we're going to cover is the blind beggar receives his sight. Somebody needs to receive some sight tonight. And it's not about physically seeing. It may be that too, because in this case it was, that we're missing every day. We're missing it because we got our eyes fixated on, if the sun's not shining, then it's not a good day. If I don't see this person, then it's not a good day. It was a rainy day, so I didn't see any. I couldn't see God. It was muddy. I couldn't see God. It was snowing out today. It was cold out today. It was hot out today, so I couldn't see God. And Jesus approached Jericho. When verse 35, again, when Luke 18, verse 35, Luke 18, verse 35. Amen? So let's look at it. And Jesus approached Jericho. A blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard the crowd going by, he asked, what's happening? So they told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he called out, I can just imagine without hesitation, because this sound has got to be really something that got his attention. He's like, what's going on? All of these, it's a crowd gathering. Where are they going? What's going on? And they tell him, it's Jesus that he's passing by. He didn't stop and ask any more questions. In verse 38, he tells us that he called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." It's not like he just sat there, because it doesn't say that he was calling out at a loud voice or anything when he asked what was going on. But the moment he found out that Jesus was passing by, he called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. We have that opportunity to call out right now. When we don't see the answer to our prayers right now, when we're still feeling pain, but we're still standing on that foundation that we're healed. Hallelujah. On this side, we know that either way, whether this side or any eternity, there's no more pain. But when we're standing on the belief that on this side that we're going to be healed, on this side that marriage is going to be healed, on this side that you will be employed, on this side the kids will give their lives to Father God, and they will start to look for their assignment and receive the assignments that he's given them and walk in his pathway and seek him, knowing that he'll find them. So those who led the way, they started to, as he's yelling out, remember, this is a blind man. He's sitting by the roadside, and he sits there on a regular basis begging. So the ones who is leading the crowd, they immediately, what did they do? Of course, they rebuked him. And they told him to be quiet. I don't know if they said, shut up, old man, old blind man, what are you doing? Don't you know who this is? Can you imagine some of the things they were saying, trying to get him to be quiet? But guess what he did? He was persistent, just like the widow was with the judge. He shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped. So many parables, so many times in the Bible, the people called out and he stopped. It got their attention. Or they touched the hem of his garment, around hundreds of people, but they touched the hem and he felt it and he turned around. So Jesus stopped and he ordered the man to be brought to him. Bring me that man. Bring him to me. Bring him to me. Bring him to me. I can just see the ones that are leading this caravan. It's just like, oh my gosh, it was just this old beggar over here, this blind beggar who begs all the time. It was nobody important. But Jesus stopped and he said, he ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? I believe that Jesus is asking us that now. What do you believe that I can do for you? Do you believe that I can give you whatever this is? Do you believe that I hear you? Do you believe that I see your cry? Do you believe that I can give you that job? Do you believe that I can give you that soulmate, as we say? Do you believe that I can turn that thing around with your family ostracized? What do you want me to do for you? And put your name in there. The man replied, Lord, I want to see. I want to see. I know a little boy, very young, and that's his thing. Cameron. Hallelujah. I know another little boy. He just wants to walk. He just wants to walk. Run and play with the other kids. And I think his name is something similar. I think he's Kyron. He just wants to walk. Lord, I want to see, is what the beggar replied. And so in verse 42 and 43, Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. God is saying to you and I, whatever it is that you, your reply was, when he said, what do you want me to do for you? If you're living according to his word, if you're aligned with his word, hallelujah, if you repented of your sin, he says, receive that, whether it's your physical sight, if it's something, an insight, whatever it is, your faith has healed you. I'm going to receive it right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for our breakthroughs. Thank you, Jesus, for being the giver of all good things. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And it said immediately he received his sight. Hallelujah. We're new creations of Christ. Hallelujah. I feel the burning on the inside. Immediately he received his sight. And you may receive yours right now. It may be something else that God is working out for you to receive it, but he's saying that you're going to receive it. And stay in a persistent prayer life with him. Study the word so you know what the promises of God are. Immediately he received the insight and followed Jesus, praising him. Can you go ahead and praise him now? Thank you, Jesus. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Your children will praise God when they see you praising God. They would know how to deal with situations. When they see you and hear you praying, when they see you on your knees, when they see you lying prostrate, when they see you instead of getting going off and cursing at somebody, they start to see the scriptures that not only that you're reading, but they're on the tablets of your heart. And they start to live that because they see you live it. So when all the people saw it, they also praised God. Hallelujah. As a footnote, as you're reading Luke 18 in its entirety, 1 through 42, also make sure you go down and look at Exodus 20, 12 through 16. It all relates together. And then Deuteronomy 5, 16 through 20. Amen? Amen. Well, I thank you, dear Father, for another night. Another night that we're able to rest because we have our mind set on you. We know what we need to do. We know what we need to say. Thank you, Jesus. We come with thanksgiving in our heart. Praise on our lips. We give you all of the glory because you're so worthy, worthy, worthy of the praise. Thank you for our teaching and our learning tonight. May it continue to be with us. May we not just get fat on the word, but we share the word with somebody. We share the word with others. Until we meet again, thank you, Jesus, again for answering prayers. For being a good God and showing us whatever it is that we needed to see tonight, that you're going to continue to do good things for us. We give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. For all of you who was joined in the chat room, God bless you. Continuously bless you. I see you. God bless you. For all of those that will hear this in the archives, God bless you. Don't forget to rate the show, and you're always welcome. I am Minister Von Dumas out of sunny San Antonio, Texas. Again, my ministry is the Word of God through the voice of Von Ministry. And I'm under the umbrella of Turning the Tables with Talk, which is with my co-host, my brother, Reggie Harwell, and my sister, Barbara Harwell, who would forever live on in our hearts, aiders of Turning the Tables with Talk. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you and keep you until we meet again. I've enjoyed myself. Don't let one single word go without you standing on it, using it. Know that God's word will not come back to him void. So you can trust in him. You can believe in him. We love you. You have a great night. Good night.
I want God. All I ever wanted was God. And I don't want to give him second best.
Yes.
I want God. All I ever wanted was God. Yeah.
I don't want to fall like a God.
want God.
I want God.
Good night.